Wayne Shorter with Footprints. Wayne Shorter is on tenor sax. Herbie Hancock is on piano. Reggie Workman is on bass. Joe Chambers on drums. This is from Shorter's 1967 album, Adam's Apple. I just love this. I love the orchestration, the whole composition. I love everything about it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And most importantly, it is that big day in the nation, Election Day. And we're going to be talking about aspects of the election and your thoughts on what is happening today and what will happen after today as well. So, a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. The nation also has not come out of this lethargy of the pandemic. So it's dealing with that. It's dealing with downturn in the economy. It's dealing with uncertainty. It's dealing with all kinds of problems that people are having and who are not assured that things, in fact, are getting better. They don't see it, despite the fact that the politicians are talking a lot about, you know, improvements, and they see light at the end of the tunnel. Some people are saying, yeah, we see light at the end of the tunnel too, but it's an oncoming train. That's what they're saying. But either way, the fact is that this is a national exercise, and it just is part of the mix of what we are experiencing this year. It is part of the mix of how a nation struggles and tries to keep some semblance of normalcy while everything is actually falling apart. You have to keep your hopes high. You have to be positive. You have to try to stretch a dollar. You have to figure out what's ahead and whether you're ready. And for those with families, this is a very daunting time. How do you, assuming that your salary, if you still have a job, your salary is not increasing, but your expenses are, and everybody around you is dealing in one way or the other with the stress of living in this time. And still, on a day like this, Election Day, people are being encouraged to look outside of their problems for a moment and deal with the big problem, the big issue of democracy. We have democracy, they'll tell us, and that should be a great comfort. Well, it isn't. It's not this year. This year, there are lots of things that people are dealing with, and that is the reality. So I think we should start off with talking about the fact that New York City, my old hometown, is emerging as a central point of concentration in all of this. New York City is going through changes, as you know. Everybody's going through changes, okay. But New York City is going through some complications with going through the changes. And everybody's watching to see how it will all work out, if it will all work out. So we're going to talk a bit about that from your perspective. I don't want experts to tell us what we really intimately know. I prefer that the people tell us what they are feeling. And today is the day to do that. Okay, I have a couple of topics all written down. We probably will not get to all of them, but let's start somewhere. And where we can start is that it is now the day. It has arrived. The day has arrived. And that means that we have a frenzied foray from all sides, looking for last-minute votes to get them over and to give them license to continue to do business as representatives of the people. But what does that really mean? We'll find out from you today. So I'd like to hear from people on at ground level, which is where this is the most important thing. You talk to people who are experiencing the issue themselves, and they can give a more realistic interpretation of what is happening. So as you New Yorkers prepare for the day and what will transpire today, what would you consider to be the most significant citywide races that you're watching or that would have inordinate impact on you? And what are you hoping the outcomes would be? Let's start there. What do you see bringing this whole election season to an end? What would you say has been or have been the most significant citywide races? And what are you hoping the outcomes will be? Let's start off with that question at 888-874-4888. It's one thing when people, you know, on the news media tell you, well, this is what is happening. They really don't know. They're doing what everybody else inevitably will have to do, which is to ask people how they're feeling. What is going on in your neck of the woods, and how are you feeling about it? I'm asking the question as we start out. What would you say have been the most important things in your city as this election season comes to an end, a feverish end? And today is also the day that people try to scoop up the last few votes that they can to put them over. Are you experiencing that in New York? 888-874-4888. I also want to ask a question about this is a question that would force you to look backwards a bit. Which former New York City mayor would have been perfect for now? Which former New York City mayor would have been the perfect person to have in office right now? I'm not seeing your names yet, and I'm hoping that we can get started and get a good brisk pace going here. 888-874-4888. There'll be no end to the analysis of what will happen today all over the country. People are going to super analyze, and in so doing, they would think that, okay, we understand what happened this day. You still wouldn't, because you wouldn't know everything. And there's a lot to what we need to know that is not being discussed. People are very, very upset. And just to scratch the surface brings this out. They're very, very tenuous about what is the future. They don't like the present, let alone the future. They are wondering what is going to happen to them and their families. How do they put one foot in front of the other and keep on going? But they're also wondering whether planning is going to help, because they're really not in control of all these aspects that affect our lives. We are not in control. We are like tourists observing We're just observing how our lives are turning out on a daily basis. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Hey, good afternoon, Latrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed, how are you?
Well, you know, you know my old saying.
Hanging more by so your today, thumbs.
There you go. More so today than any other. In reference to your first question, I mean, it's really, for me, it's been a wide field, especially with the mayoralty and the city comptroller and the public advocate. Personally, I went for Eric Adams, and I did the whole ranked choice voting, Eric Adams, Andrew Yang, Scott Stringer. There was one dark horse candidate I voted for, fourth place. I believe he's Paperboy Prince or something like that. He's like one of those off-the-wall candidates just for variety, throw him in there. And Maya Wiley was my fifth choice. Like I said, none of them were really that impressive. I mean, I think Eric Adams is best suited for the task at hand, even though I disagree with a lot of his views pertaining to the police department. But in the race, I think he would be, the condition that the city's in at this time, I think he would be best as far as administratively leading the city. To your last question, who would be a good mayoral placement now? I hate to say it, but Mike Bloomberg. I think he would be good at this time because of his
Why?
Administrative skill and because of his business connections as far as to bring back the economy. Even though I detest him, but as far as an administrator and a businessman, the planner, he would be good for New York at this time. I think that's what we really need. That's why I lean towards Eric Adams as first choice and Andrew Yang as the second.
You know, it's interesting you say that. When, of course, the race was national and we had the debates and all the other things that seemed to confuse everybody rather than clarify points, I thought Andrew Yang was a very refreshing candidate. And then I was surprised to see a groundswell of opposition against him. Do you know why that happened?
Well, I mean, personally, I think he's too corporate. He's too, you know, his association with the business community turned a lot of people off as far as liberals and as far as progressives. People were for his universal basic income, but it was an idea that he fleshed out, but he didn't really lay it down on the national level, how he was going to implement it, how he was going to get the political will to do it. And I think that turned a lot of people off. Like I said, I made him my second choice because I think he's got the business acumen, and that's what's definitely needed in the city because we're going to run into a lot of problems with homelessness. We're going to run a lot of problems with rent and mortgages. We've lost at least close to 500 to maybe over 1,000 small businesses in South Jamaica, Queens alone due to the COVID shutdown. So we're going to need someone who's got ties with the business community and who can, especially from a small business aspect, turn around the neighborhoods because this summer is going to be a hot one. And the gun violence, I mean, I'm not for police, but something's got to be done. I mean, there's no respect for anything anymore. You got people shooting in between children. When I was younger, there was a time where certain things you just didn't do. Even if you were, quote unquote, a bad guy on the other side of the law, there were certain places you didn't go, there were certain lines you didn't cross, and now all of those are gone. So it's frightening. And we need someone.
Well, you said you voted for or you approve of Eric Adams as a preferred candidate. What makes him more what makes him better as a candidate than the rest of the flock?
Well, I personally give it to him. I mean, he was in the neighborhood. He started early. He was April. He was having a virtual town hall meetings. He even walked in the community, handing out food. Even if it was coached or if it was due to his handlers, he did it well, in my opinion. He made his presence felt. He participated in community events. He put his face in the place. He spoke to the people. Even with the quarantine and all that, he got his hands dirty. And I give him props for that. He did old school politics. He put his shoes on the ground. His people put their shoes on the ground. Flyers, mailers. When the weather got warm, community events. It reminded me of the old political days when we used to have rallies in the park and things of that nature. And that nostalgia made me feel more comfortable with him. And I actually spoke to him at one of the community events in Springfield Park. And I don't agree with everything, but like I said, we need a strong hand now because the city is in trouble and a lot of people are leaving. My brother's leaving. I've considered leaving. Because the situation is going to get hot, and we need a strong head, and he appears to be he has that ability to present a strong head, and his ties with business and his ties with the unions will behoove him if he receives the mayoralty.
Well, thank you for getting us started today. And we see what other people are thinking. Thanks, Ed, for calling in and getting us started. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi,
how are you feeling on this day?
Well, I'm feeling underwhelmed and a little depressed because, quite honestly, it's the first time in, I think, 16 years that I'm not running. And I only couldn't run because I told you I was caretaking my parents this year. And because they moved the elections to June, it was just too tight for me. I couldn't do it. So I'm disappointed that I can't run in this election. But as far as the election goes in New York, the things that I think get put out with good intentions kind of end up a mess. There was so much money floating around that so many candidates just inundated us with literature and meaningless literature. None of the literature says anything on it. So, frankly, I don't even actually know who the city council person. I mean, I know of a few of the city council people that are running in my district. But I'm completely underwhelmed. It looks like a toss-up of a bunch of millennials that want to put their name on something to feed their narcissism and some has-beens and not any really great innovative thinkers. I think the most important races that people do not pay attention to are your city council races. City council is where they make all decisions about land use. And if you're okay with having all your buildings torn down and, all these high rises going up and, basically gentrifying on steroids, the city council race is the one you really have to watch. That's where those big decisions get made. Really, the only person I've come out so far for was a woman named Cabrera for the comptroller. And the reason why is I heard her in a debate and she said exactly the same thing that I've said a million times. Why are the schools in poorer neighborhoods getting so much less money than the schools in richer neighborhoods? Now, I know that that's like we all know why that's happening, but putting it out there and having somebody examine it who's the comptroller and maybe actually doing something about it sounded appealing to me. As far as the mayor is concerned, the mayoral race, I am really not so impressed with anybody. The big beef on Yang right now, if you want to know, you asked about that, is because he teamed up with Garcia and they said to their constituents, look, vote for me first, but vote for Yang or Garcia second. That's what they did. And apparently that was so utterly offensive to other candidates that, it really put them in a bad way. I don't really think that's offensive at all. I think that's smart thinking. One of them might make it. I don't know. But again, I'm unimpressed with Yang because of his past development things. You know, I'm really, it's not that I'm all for housing, but I am not for the type of housing they continue to do in New York City, where there's less and less places for people to live and more pied-à-terres for rich people that don't even live in the city. So I don't really hear anything. I found the Catherine Garcia commercial very powerful, but almost scary. It was great in its effect of like, man, this woman's powerful, but it almost knocked me down. It was weird. And Scott Stringer, after being accused of his sexual allegations, had the best PR campaign that I've ever seen in my life, because I want to tell you something. It's really hard to come back from that. And whoever did his commercials did a fantastic job, and it really looked great. I mean, it looked, you know, he commercials of a guy living in a regular apartment with his wife, who's not some glamour puss, with his regular kids, going on the bus, showing them places. I really thought this put him in a good light, and I probably would have gone with Scott Stringer had I not known him. But I do know Scott for a long time, and although I think he talks the talk, he never walks the walk. And all I remember is when I was saving PS109, how rude he was to me at a public forum when I was trying to tell him that the school could be used again as a public school. So when it came to voting, Scott Stringer very, very rarely votes with the tenants in this city. Sometimes he does, once in a while, but most of the time I think he's afraid. I know it's a hard job, too, so don't think I don't appreciate how difficult it is, the amount of pressure that people are getting, but I don't see a lot of change coming forth through any of these candidates. It was a very slick thing they did with pushing the election up till June. It was slick because it helped the older candidates like Ben Kalos. He's a very big slickster. He's in the background. You never hear much from him, but he has developed policies of giving the city council a second raise of $32,000 a year in his first term as a city council person, representative. And to me as a taxpayer, it is not important that you get first a $25,000 raise and then a $32,000 raise. This is not important to me, and it's not necessary, and I find it very egregious. However, he is the one who's been putting together a lot of these policies. I believe he was very instrumental in pushing this election up till June. Well, you know, when you did that, that pushed a lot of other people that would have liked to have run in the election. It pushed them out of the way because they simply would not be prepared in a six-month period of time in order to get on board and do an effective election. I don't know if you know this, but remember back when you lived in New York that right now is when constituents would be doing their signatures. So you have signatures, and then you have your primary in September, and then you have your election in November. I do not know if there's any place in the world that it made sense to push the election up here, except for if you are an older constituent, if you've been around, an older representative, you've been around for a long time, it helps you a whole lot. So they give you the ranked choice voting. That's their gift. And their takeaway is they move it up so that it's impossible really for anybody new who's effective to be effective enough out there campaigning to get their message out so we know who they are. So it keeps the old players in place. And it, for me, it's a very disappointing election. I'm not really, for the first time, I really don't care. I mean, I'm going to go and vote. I'll vote, I think, for Maya Wiley. I at the comptroller, I said I think that I'm going to go with this woman, Cabrera. I think she sounds much better. I sure as hell am not going with David Weprin, he's a dinosaur. He's been here for a million years. Nothing good ever happened. You know, remember, these are all the players that voted for the upzone of 125th Street. These are all the players that voted for gentrification on steroids. Really? And now they want to keep their jobs. And they want to keep screwing us. And I'm sorry, but I just can't go for it. So I'm going to try to pick some new people. I'm definitely putting my name down as a public advocate because that was the office I was running for. And I might even go back in after all this is over and continue on a write-in campaign because I am so underwhelmed with the candidates there as well. So that's my take on today. Sorry it was so long.
No, I mean, it was thorough, that's for sure. What, as a person who's run for office, as a person who has had the opportunity to see how things work from the inside, are you hopeful about the future of the city of New York under the leadership of whoever is available now.
No, not at all. And I'm not saying that to be pessimistic either, you, Therese. It will stay the same and it will get lower. But I don't see anybody that is inspiring leadership to me. But, you know, I want to also say this. If you remember, I was really, really disappointed about having Joe Biden come in. I really had low expectations. I did say this, though. I did predict that he might get on the right side of things to create a legacy for himself. And I'm pleasantly surprised at many of the things that he's done, more progressive things than almost any president we've had since John Kennedy. So, and I'm not saying that that makes him, you know, the best president in the world, but I'm saying we are getting something from him that we haven't gotten in many, many years. So I could be pleasantly surprised, but just looking at the candidates right now, just seeing who the people are, I just see more political games being played. I see more dinosaurs that will never leave. I see endless destruction of New York City. Every day I turn around, another hunk of New York City is being torn down. This is a fabric of our history that continues to get torn down for these high-rise buildings that don't house middle-income, lower-income people. They're mostly being used for pied-à-terres, for people that do not even live in this city or even in this country. And we have a huge homeless problem here. I don't see anybody that I think has a really fresh frame of mind or any really good logical arguments. And I know how hard it was for me as a candidate getting out there. I know the Democrats, just after I took my stand for Bernie and against Hillary, I was not allowed to speak at even one Democratic club the last time I ran for public advocate. They shunned me. 22 people ran, and every time I would go, I was ignored, I was shunned, I was not allowed to speak, or I was cut into. Any pictures that got taken with me in them, they took me out of the picture and just posted the picture without me in it. It's a rough game out there, and there's a lot of people who like things exactly the way they are. They have no interest in changing anything. And so they put these people in that are willing to just do the go-along to get along. And this time, I think that we're really in a dangerous place because the city, it seems like the city is angry right now. It seems like people in the city are angry. All we've got are our kids, you know, riding these motorcycles like crazy and loud and noisy. We have a lot of gun violence going on. I think more gun violence than I've ever seen in New York. And just a lot of things that are going to take a very hard time to turn around. I don't know how you're going to turn it around, but I don't see the city in such terrific. And by the way, so many stores are closed down. You just can't even believe it. Every time I turn around, you walk by five stores, they're down. Then the building goes down. Then pop up another luxury housing project that nobody can live in. And the abundance of problems at NYCHA. That's a show in itself. I'll go into one day with you, because it's unbelievable how that system, you know, when the tenants complain at NYCHA, they get an automatic letter telling them they're going to evict them. It's an automatic form letter that goes out, and it's such a hustle over there. If the employees want to change their union, they've been told they'll lose all their union work here in New York City. What a disaster and a mess that is. I mean, and these people are paying close to market rate for this housing, and they are paying their rent. So, you know, these are the things that I am interested in as a candidate, what I was interested in, what I still am interested in, and I'm fighting right now. I am very, very interested in getting the public housing here organized in New York City so people have some power and they realize the enormous amount of power just in these buildings. But it's not, people aren't pulling that string together so they can organize it into a fist that can really get them some good housing rights, get their rights fulfilled for them. We have the warrant of habitability, and they are not getting that. So, I mean, this is something I'm working on currently, and I hope to just keep on working on it, because it's the deeper I get in, you know, the more alarming it is. But what the heck, you know, if we can string this thing together, it'll be a forced to be reckoned with.
Who, to your knowledge, who has been a mayor of the city of New York, who is the right person for the job right now, you think?
Oh, Yatrice, I honestly don't think any of them are right. I can't honestly say. They're not. They, There's nobody up there that inspires leadership in me, that I think is strong enough. I mean, on some pieces, like, I might like Maya Wiley for her civil rights stuff, but I don't know if she has the chops to push it through. I don't know if these cops are going to respect her. I don't think Eric Adams has it because I think he's too conservative. I mean, you know, I also have issues with him living in New Jersey. And I'm sorry that the person called the other day and did not understand how important that is. But it is very important that people who are going to run in this city must live in the city. You know, that we just can't shove under the rug. And we still don't actually know where this guy lives. And that brings to task his level of honesty and integrity. So I know it's expensive to live here, but, you know, he made some pretty good money in the jobs that he's had. He should have been able to pay rent to live here. So I take issue with that. And I think, you know, Scott Stringer, I would say, okay, but, you know, I've watched him in all of his jobs, and I've never seen too much of anything. What I do like about him is I hear him once in a while, he'll be on BAI and he'll talk about the things going on behind the scenes of the New York City housing projects and rent stabilization. And I like that very much about him. I think that's a wonderful asset that he has of fleshing out these problem zones and bringing them to the attention of regular people so we all know what's going on. However, I have not seen him go up against somebody except for, I think, Mayor Bloomberg, and I was pleased with that. I think he did say no to the vote for Mayor Bloomberg taking the third term. But, you know, I don't see anybody up there that I think is just so fabulous that I have to have them, especially in a time right now where we have two huge problems. We have crime really is on the rise, and that's not usually something I pay so much attention to. But we also have the rights, the other crimes, the crimes from police to civilians in the whole country. I do want to say, too, though, that I'm pleased to say that many more of our police in New York are looking more like the neighborhoods, and they're also being diplomatic. There was something that happened in my building last week where, you know, my neighbor could have been thrown in jail, but instead they decided it was a waste of time. There was a domestic argument going on, and, you know, tempers were high. And, you know, they could have pressed charges, but they didn't. And they got the logic of why that would be a stupid thing to do. And she calmed down and everybody calmed down and it turned out fine. And, you know, I have to give the police at the 23rd Police Precinct these are young police that are new that I haven't seen. And I'm glad that they recognize the difference between a real crime and somebody who's just upset. So that was a good thing. But I still have to say that we have a lot of violence going on here. We have a lot of gun violence happening, people getting stomped because they're Asian. And I am afraid of, you know, not handling that properly. And no, I do not have the answer for that. I don't have the answer. So, you know, the best I can do is, well, I'm going to vote for me as a public advocate. And I probably vote for Maya Wiley only because I hear that her policies are rather progressive. Maybe she can, you know, maybe she'll get a good team around her that can keep her from going under. Maybe, you know, I mean, look, with Joe Biden, he has Bernie Sanders and all the other people that he was willing to listen to and take their help. And that is why these policies are going through. And you know what? Had this not happened and he had gotten in any other way except for getting in because of the Bernie Sanders people, we'd have a whole different government. But you know what? He's learning as he's going along to be more sensitive and to get it. And I like that. I like a person who changes, who evolves. I like that very much. And I see that happening with him. I think he's sincere. I like that he got down on his knee to Opal the other day and thanked her for her service to try to get Juneteenth in. Yeah, maybe it was a little hammy, but you know what? It still was a good thing to do. So, you know, sometimes with the right team around you, very good things can happen, as long as you're not an egomaniac and you will allow those people to come in and give you the support, because no one can do it on their own, even a mayor.
Well, thank you, Gwen, for your panoramic analysis today. And we're listening, definitely, to what you're saying. Thank you so much. 888-874-4888. On this day, Election Day. We're looking at New York City because it somehow has occupied a lot of space on the political map for all kinds of reasons. And we're looking to see whether our concept, our individual concept of what politics ought to be and do, whether it's actually being manifested in New York. Does it stand a chance? How are people going to accept, you know, changes in New York, especially at this time, when it seems just the same, as difficult as the times are? We see evidence that systems are not necessarily in sync with the people. They have theories about what ought to be done, but there's very little communication with the people and how they're feeling. How are they reacting to life? How are they living at this time? What are their specific needs? Do they feel upbeat about government? Is this something that could work at all, where people are contemplating drastic and dramatic changes? But we have systems that have been in place for years. They don't intend to give up their power. And so they play games. They play games with the people. Ali from New York, you're on the air. What are your thoughts today?
Yes, how are you doing, you three? Let me just say hello to all your audience out there, all your students like me. So so all those students.
I'm a student too. I'm learning all the time.
Yeah, but you're with the scholars. You're learning from the scholars. We just learning from this professor right that I'm talking to right now. With all the respect to Gwen, I do wanted to say something about what she said about crime in the city. Crime is high all over this nation, so it's not only New York City. And I was just talking to a few people on Sunday on this call, and all of them said they don't feel that they're not safe in this city. Even my son, who just took a trip to Chicago, he said he feels safer in New York City than even in Chicago. And he didn't even go to the rough area in Chicago. So I have to say that a lot of those crimes that have been reported, they always have been there. But now the NYPD, the police union, they reporting this crime because you know what goes on with the fund and abolishing the police department. So, yes, a lot of us, we are drinking pretty much the Kool-Aid. And all the respect to her, I don't feel unsafe in this city. I don't know where all these crimes that people are talking about are from. And I live in the city since the 1970s. I wanted to say that I was a teenager, but I have lived here for a very long time. With respect to a stringer, I wanted to make a point because this is something very important about a stringer. Even though a stringer have done things, a little things, because this is what these people do in politics for people. A stringer was the one from his office when he was the Manhattan Borough President that a report came out and a plan came out for NYSHA to develop high-rise expenses.
Hold a second. We have to say what NYSHA is, New York City Housing Authority.
Yes. I'm sorry. I know that it's a lot of people listening. Yes, NYSHA is a public housing in New York City, and I think it's one of the biggest one in the nation, and we still have it in the city. And this is something that a lot of these people in the real estate industry, they want those land. Most of these NYSHA, especially in Manhattan, they're very expensive land, and a lot of them, they wanted to be developed. And Mr. Stringer, it came from his office. I had the report because somebody gave me a copy. He made the plan to develop what you call the open space. It's meaning areas in those national housing that they either are parking or the areas where they have parks, and they wanted to develop luxury buildings. So you will have NYSHA. This is what they call public-private. But you know that public-private is never public. It's always private. You know what it is. And this is one of the things that people that they live in the NYSHA housing, they're not aware that this is what this man did. That is one thing for a stringer. And going back to these rank choices, people have to understand that we don't rank in anyone. As a matter of fact, I know 10 people at the moment that they're not voting for Eric Adams. And the poll shows the man as the number one, that he's up there, that he's winning. Let us face it, people. We are not picking anyone. They are picking these people for you, especially the people that they end up on the top of the ticket. And how do I know this? Because I have a young woman running in one of the for the city council, and it had been so. This is her second time running. The first time she tried to run with the Green Party, she couldn't do it. Then she rode independent in another line. Now she's running the Democratic Party, because if you don't go into that line with the Democratic Party, you will never, never win a thing in this city. So this is, let's just make sure that people are aware that these ranchers in this city, we are not picking anyone. They're picking all those people for us. They put it on the line, and then it's an illusion that you're voting, because this is the Democratic Party, but, you know, they give you the illusion that you're going there for something. Yes, I'm going there today to pick people that they will never have a chance, because I wanted to throw that vote against those other people. So this is what I'm doing today. Yes, I will be going there, but I don't have this illusion that I'm voting there. I'm really, really picking, and I'm voting for somebody. They're not going to do anything for us. We have to understand that in this city, Rebney, the real estate industry, and the NYPD, they control this city. Both of those groups. So if we have the illusion that we picked them people and they're going to do things for us, that Maya Wiley, I have met her twice before all this, a few years ago, because I went to the place of work where she used to work at the new school here in the city. And they were giving some talk. And I met her, very nice woman. I don't think I'm going to vote for her. Do you think I have an illusion that she's going to do something for us? No. She's going to have to do what the real estate industry tells her to do, and the one NYPD will tell her to do. So please, people, don't get that illusion that you're going to be picking people to do things for you, because they will never. You have to go to Latin America and then see what happened in Peru and see what happened in Bolivia. They are actually picking people, and they vote for them. And they're doing something for their own people. That is what we have to do. As long as we have big corporations doing this to us, we will never get anything done, and they will never do anything for us. I'm sorry I talk too much, but that's what
no,
I have to say.
But we are listening, and you're telling what you know. You're not telling any lies. You're not making anything up. You're telling exactly what you know, what you have experienced. And this is very valuable. We have to start talking this way. People may have their noses out of joint from time to time because they may or may not agree. But at the same time, the information you're providing is information that needs to be shared. People need to understand that while you are in your little bubble, this is really what people are experiencing at the ground level. That is very, very important. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, and you treat the last thing. People, they have to be realistic. Look what happened in Peru. A man, a teacher, an elementary teacher from the countryside, what we call jíbaro, we call campesino, have won the election. He's going to be able to be president in Peru. We don't know yet because you know what is happening. But those are the kind of people that when you go out there and you vote for, you know that you're voting for somebody. Somebody that, especially in Peru, that they look like the majority of the people in Peru, that they had never been for over 200 years, they had never been able to govern themselves, and they don't have to respond to the United States. So let's just be realistic here. We are not picking none of these people. The Democratic Party put it, send that booklet, and everyone is a belongs to the Democratic Party. So be realistic, people. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You're not picking. Yes, you go over there thinking that you're doing something. No. Thank you.
Thanks. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, you say.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Rich from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Rich.
Hello? Yeah, I'm on the air. I'm calling from New York about the mayoral, the contest that's going on in, with the mayor. I thought it was interesting that Andrew Yang and Garcia teamed up together against Eric Adams. You know, they're saying that if you're going to pick somebody, we're going to team up together, vote for Yang first or me first or Garcia first, but not Adams. I thought that was interesting. I mean, and listening to their campaign literature and seeing what they were talking about, they had nothing in common as far as policy goes for New York. So what kind of arrangements did they make between themselves, you know, to block Adams? What reason for that, you know? And, you know, people say, hey, don't get involved. You know, you got a group of people in New York City who say, well, get involved. You got the acidic people over there in New York. They never, in Williamsburg, they never say, don't get involved. They say, get involved. And when they want something, they get it because they know that the people are going to come out and either put them in office or take them out of office. But as long as people say, don't get involved because they didn't do this and they didn't do this, then, you know, it's hurting us or them as a people. If the communities got together and they had their community organizations going, and when things aren't going right with them, if they needed things done, you can go to these people and say, look, this is happening and we want changes made. If not, you're not going to be in office anymore. But it doesn't happen that way. But if people sit around and say, hey, I don't want to get involved with this and this didn't happen, this, that don't make no sense. It's people that want you to say just that. And it's happening. I talk to people, do you vote? No, I didn't vote because I want my street fixed, and it ain't been fixed, and I've been asking people. So I ain't voting for nobody. It don't make no sense to me. So I say, as long as you let these people do what they want to do, and they know you're not organized, and they're going to do what they want to do. And it's a shame that people say, hey, I don't want to get involved. That don't make no sense to me. All right.
How hopeful are you that people will take on exactly what you say, take an active role in improving things by being part of the solution? Do you think people will still maintain, the vast majority of people would still maintain that, you know, this system can't be fixed. It's beyond the point of salvaging. We just have to wait and see, you know, when it will actually just die. But until then, I'm not involved with it.
No. Well, it's a work in progress. You know, it's a work in progress. I'm not other people have said, democracy is something that's a work in progress and always has to be worked on. like I said, you know, like now even with the Asian community, you know, they were crying about, hey, look what's happening to us. We're getting assaulted with it. What happens? The government gives them, what, $50,000, $60,000, $1 million to put in their community, you know, for more security, for doing this and doing that. The Jewish community in Crown Heights, they were complaining. What did they get? They got $5 billion, you know, to put in their community for update security and all of this other stuff. Because they get out and they vote, and they know whatever the rabbis say do, they do. But as long as we sit down and talk to, as long as we sit back and say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, and not get organized, then things are just going to be the way they are. You're not going to be able to do anything in your community constructive, because they know they can depend on you being subdued or not getting involved with the community. You know, some of our congresspeople have been in there for years, and you don't even see them until election day. And you don't even see them then. You know, but as long as you don't get involved, and they don't care whether you come out or not, they hope you don't. And a lot of our people don't, especially the young people. You ask them, you sit down and talk to them, and you ask them what the issues are, and they, well, no, I'm not registered. Well, why aren't you registered to vote? Well, you know, I don't know who the candidates are, you know, so that's on us. As long as we stay ignorant, they don't care. You know, they get a nice paycheck, and they get everything done for them that they want. But as long as our people sit back, and as long as people sit back and say, I ain't going to get involved because of this, then this is what's going to happen. You're not going to get anything done. All right, well, thank you then. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved, and to the PRN.
Hello, Willie.
I remember that you did a program on voting, why you don't vote. I remember that very clearly. And I thought you were in error. It took me quite a few years to understand why. You know, and I feel the same way like Ali does. Because just like the brother just said, that we're not organized. And we're not organized. So it really, the people who pay for these people's campaigns, they are the ones that they will work for or answer to. We're just making exits. That in itself just doesn't make sense to me. You know, somebody's paying for your campaign, and I'm going to come along and make an ex and expect you to work for me. That just doesn't make sense to me. I would love to see Eric win. But, you know, I know, just like I voted for Obama, and look what he did to Libya under his administration. So I don't think I'm going to be part of this anymore.
When you say you don't think you'll be part of this anymore, you do realize it's a contradiction, because whether you want to be or don't want to be, you will.
Yeah. Okay. Let me use an, maybe it's a better word, participate, cooperate with this, this madness. I'm not going to cooperate with it. Because we're legitimizing the whole process in my judgment. And we know it's fraud. I mean, a lot of us do know that it's just a game.
So you prefer to take a chance that you will not be harmed directly as much as they would be inclined to harm or inclined to do things that would harm you, but at the same time, you're not participating.
You see, they're going to do what they want. because whether we participate or not, as long as we, and just like Kwame Ture always said, organize, organize. And we refuse to do that. So they're just going to do whatever they want to do to us. That's it. Just simple as that. We're just not organized. Just like the brother was saying before, talking about the Jewish community. There's a small number of people, but they're organized. And they put up their money. We just want to get benefits for just making that and our next. That doesn't make sense. These election campaigns cost millions of dollars. And we don't put up nothing. And expect something like that.
I could see a point, but we're out of time. And I want to thank you for getting in just under the radar here and sharing your thoughts with us.
One quick thought. If I do vote, I'll put your name in. That's all. Or Gary.
Thank you, Willie, for calling in and contributing. Thank you all for calling in and contributing, especially on this day. I think even from the snippets that we were allowed to hear, that we can appreciate that there is a vast difference between what we are told or what we suspect and what really is happening on the ground. And it would behoove us to keep in mind that this battle is still ongoing. It is not at all over. And we have to change our own attitudes. We can't just throw up our hands and say, well, let somebody else take care of that because I did what I could and it didn't work. So I'm done. No, we have a lot of work to do. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.